The sun is shining and it is starting to get warmer outside. This often comes with the need of drinking extra fluids to stay hydrated. Hydration is important for optimal body function, and Needed's hydration support has electrolytes and trace minerals with a hint of flavor from real fruit to support hydration, occasional nausea, and even breast milk supply without sugar or artificial sweeteners and colors. Grab your hydration support today from thisisneeded.com and get 20% off your first order. You can use code VBAC at checkout.
Hello, everybody. You guys, I really, really, really can't wait for today's discussion. I was joined by Darby Swan, who is a faith-based birth doula and the owner of Boundless Grace Birth Services in Central Kentucky. With a passion of supporting expectant families, she provides evidence-based information and nurturing care throughout the pregnancy and birth journey. As the host of the podcast, Birth by Design, Darby shares valuable insights and experiences inspiring parents and embracing their unique birth stories. She is also an author, which is so amazing and so inspiring to me. She's an author writing a postpartum book that emphasizes physical recovery from a faith-based perspective. Writing a book is something that is so inspiring to me. It's something that I long to do, and I'm so excited that she has got this book, and it is so great to dive into postpartum, and she'll talk a little bit more about that. But in addition to her work, Darby enjoys homesteading with her husband and raising their children. You guys, really so excited. I was on her podcast a little while ago and absolutely loved chatting with her. And I was like, you have to be on my podcast. We have to chat. So we're going to be talking a lot about birth language, birth tools, what birth looks like in Kentucky. Definitely was interested to learn more about that. And then, yeah, we are going to talk more about her book. So without further ado, we are going to actually skip the review today because we have such a great educational discussion on language and options and all these things. So we'll dive right into that.
Hi, my name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
Hello, women of strength. You guys, guess who we have on the podcast with us today? I want to call you Queen Darby, and I don't know why.
Listen, I'm here for it.
We have Darby Swan with us today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And I mean, I don't know if I've ever been referred to in my life as queen, other than by my husband, which, I mean, that's good, right?
Yeah. No, I don't know why, but Queen Darby, like, it just...
It does sound like a very regal name, maybe Darby Swan.
Yeah, maybe that's why, like, Queen Darby Swan. Yes. I don't know. I think that this needs to be your new name.
I'll rebrand. Totally.
Rebrand. Megan at the VBAC Link says rebrand. No, but you guys, Darby is with us today. And I actually just was recently on your podcast. And now you get
you
to be
mine.
I'm so excited. I love doing these swaps. It's so stinking fun. So I already said it in the bio, but remind everybody where they can find you. Instagram.
So
we already know.
Yeah, so you can find me. You can find me mainly on Instagram. I have a Facebook, but I feel like Facebook is kind of like slowly fading into the background.
It is. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Instagram, you can find me at Boundless Grace Birth, and you can find me at www.boundlessgracebirth.com.
Awesome. Okay. Well, you guys, today's episode, we have quite the agenda, and we might even have to do a part two. Because as we started talking, we realized we have a lot to say and we have a lot of topics that we like to cover. So very first, let's talk about Kentucky. So that's where you're at, right? You are
Yes.
in Kentucky, and it's the seventh worst state to give birth in the U.S. Like seventh, you
Yeah.
guys. That's not great. Not
It's
great. And
not.
we obviously know that there's six more before, but let's talk about that. Let's talk about it being the
Yeah.
worst state.
So, and I mean, that's coming from like Forbes Advisor. They do studies. And I mean, March of Dimes, even just a couple of years ago, put us at the 14th worst. So it's gotten worse. And I'm like, fantastic. But that's mainly due to high maternal mortality rates, infant mortality rates. And I mean, Kentucky just, we're full of maternity care deserts. And if you're listening and you're like, what's a maternity care desert? It's an area that doesn't have access to birthing facilities or adequate maternity care providers. So no midwives, no OBs. Not saying Kentucky doesn't have those, but there are parts of Kentucky, especially when you get into the eastern part of the state, that it's literally a desert. And women are traveling 30, 40, 50 miles just for a prenatal appointment. So it's not, I mean, you can also take into consideration Kentucky's issues with substance abuse and mental health issues and things like that that contribute to poor numbers and outcomes. But it's pretty crazy when you think about it. And I mean, the cost of childbirth here is, even with insurance, is crazy for people, especially Kentucky's, I would say, a blue collar state. Like, we're not exactly the high business risers and things. If you get into Louisville, the southern Cincinnati area that's in Kentucky, like maybe you have a little bit more income flexibility, but most of the state, we're middle class citizens living paycheck to paycheck.
That is so hard. And when it comes to support options for VBAC, I mean, if people, we already know VBAC is hard and it can be tricky enough, right? It's hard enough to find the support. But when you have areas that don't even have support to help people not having a VBAC, just, like, what does that mean? And how is it approached in Kentucky? And then those hospitals that maybe those hospitals that people are driving to, like, what does that look like?
So VBACs in Kentucky, I don't want to say they're not unheard of, but you pretty much are fighting tooth and nail. You either need to be a very strong, driven person to advocate for yourself, or you have to have a doula to be able to be heard even. And I don't want to paint it black. Like, I don't want to paint it just this horrible, dim lit scenario. There's always good in bad situations. And I mean, like where I am in central Kentucky, in the Lexington area, that we have a little bit more friendly support. But even then, you're still kind of clawing your way in, being like, yeah, this is what I want to do. Here's my research. Here's my support. Here's this. And I mean, even then, sometimes you're not exactly finding a quote unquote supportive
Supportive.
provider. But I mean, thankfully, we've got home birth midwives that are like all for it, absolutely 100%. And we've got some hospital-based midwives too that do amazing, like the midwives at UK do amazing for VBACs. And
Awesome.
so it's not like we don't have anything, but
But it's
we're
not
getting
great.
there. It's not great. But yeah, and I mean, Kentucky doesn't even have a birth center. We don't have birth centers here. They're actually not legal here. There's legislation getting to change that, so that is in the process of happening.
That would be huge.
But yeah.
And Kentucky is not alone. There are so many areas that are running through these issues. And do you know the cesarean rate in Kentucky? Like, are cesarean rates higher?
Yeah, pretty much. It's at least double, probably triple, if I'm thinking correctly, the national average. Yeah,
No
it's
good.
pretty crazy here, especially like I said, you get into that more rural Appalachian, Eastern Kentucky area where there's maybe one or two hospitals that even have a labor and delivery unit. It's just C-section, and the rate of primary C-sections is just absolutely sickening here. But
not good. And we, you know, we don't have a lot of doulas in Kentucky. And I'm wondering if that's why. Like, I wonder if people are feeling defeat. But so, doulas, if you're out there, birth workers in Kentucky, write us. We'd love to get you in our family and get you helping out our VBAC community. Okay, so when we chatted a while ago, we connected with understanding the language of birth. This is so powerful, and navigating the medical terminology in birth. And we talk about this in our course, our VBAC course too, where we talk about, and we start with TOLAC, just TOLAC. That right there can trigger someone, which is trial of labor after cesarean. It just means that someone is going in for a trial of labor after cesarean. And people who haven't had cesareans, they call them, it's like a trial of labor. But that's not how we as parents are feeling. Like, we don't like that, right?
Yeah.
So let's kind of go through an overview of the common medical terms and phrases that parents are likely to hear. And then let's also talk about how to maybe not let them impact us too heavily.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got several for you. So let's just dive in, like what you said with TOLAC. I mean, everyone wants to try for a vaginal birth after a cesarean. Like, that's something that a lot of people, they hear about usually after, and then they're like, oh, yes, that's what I want. That's my dream. That's what I need to do. And when you imply with the word trial, it implies that there's something unlikely
to happen.
About it.
I know. Yes.
Or that it's risky, or that, like, I don't even know. It's just, it puts this stigma around that whole scenario, which can be a beautiful and redemptive and amazing thing. And instead we're saying, eh, you can try.
Exactly. I mean, when I was looking for my providers, because I interviewed quite a few, I'm sure as you all know, I really wanted someone to not say, oh, well, we can try, or you can try, or sure, this was said, but whatever, you can try. It was like, no, I have full faith that you can do this. Like, let's do it. Let's do it. You know, and I don't think that my providers that did say that, let's do it, that I chose, wanted to say that and thought, oh, well, there's always the what if, or there's always this cesarean that could happen. Like, I don't want to say that they diminished that. It was like, no, let's do this. Like, you're not trialing. You're not trying. Like, you are. And even if it does go the CBAC route or whatever, doesn't mean you tried. You did. You did do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Yeah. And I mean, I think even changing it from, I know TOLAC is the quote unquote, like,
terminology.
Official,
medical terminology.
Yes. But like, why can't we say we're preparing for a VBAC?
Right. Just changing it just slightly, like
just a little twinge. Like, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. It means the exact same thing.
Or this mom is going for a VBAC.
Exactly.
Like, going for is also sort of trying, but it hits differently to a lot of people.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So let's keep going. So, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I want to hit this one because this one is what, like, irks me as a doula and gets under my skin and makes my mama bear doula claws come out. When I have a client that says, well, my doctor said I'm allowed to try.
Oh, girl. Oh, ooh. I have a lot of things to say about this. Allowed? You're going to allow me. I'm sorry. Yep. I'm feeling a little salty, but like, you're not going to allow me to do anything. I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry. This isn't an authoritative, like, you're not authoritative over me.
Yes.
And it's like, allowed implies the lack of choice, which we know that's not true. We know that's not true. But I mean, I just don't understand why they think, one, we're not in control, and that we don't have the brains to make a choice on our own. Like, I know.
But the thing is we have the, like, when people tell us they will allow us, it gives this authoritative feel too of like, oh, wow. And also, it's, they're being so nice. They're allowing me.
Right. It's the bait and switch.
It's like they say those words and we're like, oh, that's nice. Okay. Thank you for allowing me. You guys, women of strength. Obviously I have feelings as well. I don't like this. Don't let people allow you to do what you want. Advocate for yourself, get the education, and don't let them take your power away.
Yeah. And I mean, even for any providers that are listening and are like, well, we say like, well, you're allowed to do this, you're allowed to do that. We don't mean anything by it. Mm-hmm. May I suggest switching that word to we advise? Mm-hmm. Because give us reason, give us information behind why that is set in place. Mm-hmm. And then you can be like, however, let's discuss the risks of and benefits of alternatives. Like, this is what we advise. However, here are some other options. How hard is that?
Yeah. Or, you know, I would suggest. Mm-hmm. That's them putting like, okay, they suggest, then you get to make the choice, you know?
Yeah. Take ownership, friend.
Yes. Yes.
Spring is here and summer is coming. As a doula, I often see mamas start feeling that heat and getting dehydrated easily. Needed has made it so easy to stay hydrated and get the electrolytes and trace minerals we need as we lose them even more during pregnancy and nursing. They have the hydration support in multiple flavors, lime, grapefruit, and lemon. They also have a variety pack in case you were wanting to switch it up. They're naturally sweetened and flavored with real fruit, no sugar or junk like other electrolytes. You can easily mix these packets into your water bottle and feel refreshed and hydrated during your day. Check out more about hydration support and all the other amazing things and supplements that Needed has to offer at thisisneeded.com. Get 20% off with code VBAC at checkout. Again, that is VBAC at thisisneeded.com to get 20% off your first order. Let's take a moment to talk about Coterie wipes, because they're just as amazing as their diapers. These wipes are made from 100% plant-based fibers and are up to 30% larger than most other brands, making them perfect for even the messiest of situations. They're also hypoallergenic and dermatologist tested, so they're safe for newborns and even eczema-prone skin. One of our team members shared that these wipes have been a game changer, gentle enough for delicate skin, but durable enough to get the job done with fewer wipes. They've even earned the National Eczema Association's Seal of Acceptance. You guys, you can pair these with Coterie diapers for a high-performance diaper duo. And do not forget, you can get 20% off with code VBAC20 of your first order of $40 or more. Add a pack of these incredible wipes to your order to see the difference.
Okay, let's keep going.
So what about failure to progress?
Ooh, another one. Because I actually was told that. Like, you were failure mm-hmm. to progress. And mm-hmm. one, the word failure just in general, right? That word comes in and it sits heavy with the majority of people.
Yeah. And it makes you think something's wrong.
Yes. It makes us have this sense of doubt in our body. Like, we failed. We didn't achieve. We didn't succeed.
And it strips confidence.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Yes. And it impacts us so much. I mean, I went to a CrossFit gym the other day and it was so fun. And I connected with a couple of moms, and my friend was like, oh, she's a doula. And she's like, oh, that's cool. And we like started talking about it. And she's like, oh, I couldn't have a vaginal birth. I really wanted to, but I just couldn't. And I was like, why? She's like, well, my first labor failed. Those are the actual words she said. My first labor failed. I said, oh, and she said, but it failed for good reason. And I said, what's that? She said, oh, well, my pelvis is too small. So my body and my baby knew that it shouldn't keep going. And I was like, all right, how intense do I get in this conversation right now?
You know? What level of personality do I bring out here?
And I don't even know her. And I was like, okay. I said, well, let me tell you. I said, the reason why I do the podcast part is to help debunk the myths that you were given. And she said, mm-hmm. what? And I said, unfortunately, what you were told isn't actually true. Yeah. And she was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, trust me, it took me two births to really dive in and figure it out too. And she said, that is so crazy. She's like, this whole time, I just thought that my doctor saved me from going further in my labor because my pelvis was too small, and that he told me my body was responding well by not dilating. And I was just like, oh my gosh. So failure to
Oh my
progress.
goodness.
Yes, I know you guys, like the conversations that I have with people through consults, through just meeting people, and I am very much a let's talk. Like I'm a
Yeah.
very talkative person. But yeah, I was just like, gosh, she's not the only one out there that has been told failure to progress and maybe made to feel better. Like that's like to me, she felt
Was
better.
manipulative.
Yes. Yes. And I don't want her to feel bad. And I didn't mean to
Right.
make her feel bad, right? And I don't think she did. We chatted a lot about it, but it's like we're being told we're justified all these other things to make it, or these things are made sound to be justified. I don't know how to say what I'm trying to say to make us feel better, right? But
Yeah.
failure to progress, tell me what your thoughts are.
Yeah. So, I mean, like everything that you said, ditto, times two. Love it. And I mean, the failure to progress, it's important to keep in mind that when they're quote unquote diagnosing failure to progress and putting that in your medical chart, they're going based off averages. They're going based off the average woman in labor. Honey, when have we ever been average? Like, I don't even know what average means. Like,
I know.
I don't even want to be considered normal. Like, abnormal is way more fun. Like, but it is taken off average numbers and it's putting you in this mold that you may not fit, and that's okay. Like, labor does not fit into a mold.
It doesn't. And I want to point out that a lot of us that have been told failure to progress or been given this diagnosis, it wasn't our body that failed. It wasn't us that failed. It wasn't our baby that failed. There were a lot of things likely that came into play where we were the ones that were let down. We were the ones because we were set up poorly. Our water, we were like, oh, let's have an induction. We're 1 centimeter, and someone breaks our water, and our cervix is posterior, and then our baby comes down wonky, and then all of a sudden we're 7 centimeters, but nothing's happening because our baby's still wonky, or whatever. There are things that go along that they're choices that we make, and there are a lot of the times they're choices that we make based off of the information we're given, but then we're told that we failed, and it sticks and it sucks. So if you have been given this diagnosis, I encourage you to say, okay, cool. That was for that birth. Moving on to the next birth. That doesn't mean you will failure to progress again. And let the failure go. You're not a failure. You're amazing. You are a woman of strength and you are so capable. Whether it ends in a vaginal birth or not, you are amazing and you're not a failure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I mean, this kind of leads into the next one that, well, we talked really about two that I could lead into. We'll get with big baby. You have a big baby. And I mean, that scares people
Yep,
because
terrifies.
it indicates that things could be harder. It indicates that other things might happen down the road. You may tear, you may do this, you may have to have an instrumental delivery, you may have to have a C-section. One, listen, we could go down a rabbit hole here. Size, we can't estimate, can't get an accurate estimate on size of a baby. I
Oh, we
don't care
sure
what those
try.
scans, oh, we
They
do
sure
a
try.
lot. And I mean, I don't care what the scan says. I don't care what percentage you they say, well, it's 80% accurate or whatever. It doesn't matter. There's so many different factors in play that happen from the time of that scan to birth that can influence baby's weight, fluid intake. Like your baby just growing quickly or not growing as quickly as thought or anything. There's so many different things that can be put into play there where it's like, nah, I don't take stock in a big baby. That's why when a client tells me, oh, they said I have a big baby, like that I'm probably gonna have like a 9 or 10 pound baby. I'm like, nah, you'll probably have like a 7. Like
Yeah, seriously. And I honestly see that more often than not. The big baby thing, it is becoming more and more and more common. I feel like when I started my doula career back in 2014, I saw it. I saw a big baby here and there, but the more I'm doing doula work, I will say the more I'm seeing excuses for induction, and big baby is one of the number one reasons for scaring people into a scheduled induction. And I do not understand why we are forcing these inductions so hard. It really happened during COVID here in Utah anyway. I think in a lot of ways our providers thought, ooh, we can control who we test, who's coming in, right? Because during COVID, it was whatever, COVID. And they wanted to control that. And it's like, oh, that was nice. And so we keep going. And now we don't have COVID as an excuse, but we have things like your baby's looking too big. I don't know if you really want that vaginal birth. We better induce. And we believe it and we let the fear sink in.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you're labeled elective induction, which that's another
Yes.
language that I'm like, ugh, can we? We elect political leaders. That's what we elect. Like, birth is
I
not a
love that.
democracy. Like, there's nothing here about that that's elective. But you can schedule it. And I mean, listen, if you've done the research and you've done the education and you're prepared and confident in your choice for an induction, friend,
Heck
go for
yeah.
it.
Heck
Go
yeah.
for
Yeah.
it. Absolutely. I mean, heck, I'm an elective induction mama, but it was educated and well thought out and a choice that I made confidently. But we say this elective induction, and women are honestly, I kind of feel like it's more on the outside, like the people that aren't the birth givers that say, oh, well, she chose that, so she just must not want to deal with labor. And I mean, I know that's a controversial take, but it's, I don't know. It just, there's something about the whole elective induction
Sits
that
wrong.
it's again manipulative and makes you think, well, it was your choice, so
You
that's
have
what
to
you
deal with the
chose to
end
do.
result.
And I'm like, no, but if we're not preparing our mamas for what an induction looks like, things they need to be aware of. Do they know what a Bishop score is? Do they know what their Bishop score was?
Well, I mean, most people aren't being talked about that
I know.
too,
Another,
knowing.
like, what is a Bishop score? People don't know unless you have a doula. And even then, sometimes doulas are not saying the right thing, or maybe they don't know what to ask for. And it's just, it gets wild.
It does. There's so many things that are just thrown out there. And when it comes to the way we speak to people, I think even becomes important before we have the baby. I mean, I was told, I can't remember where I've shared this somewhere, so you've probably heard this before, but I was told by a coworker, his name was Dennis, and he was like, wow, do I need to get a wheelbarrow and wheel you around the office? Because I was so big, apparently. Like, that's how,
Dennis, my man, not right.
And I was like, no, like, what? No, And then it's, well, wait, like, weren't you due last week? Oh, is it, this is getting dangerous. You need to get that baby out. I mean, I talked to parents here in my PTA. We're talking about birth, and the way we think about birth is because it's been taught this way of like, you're crazy if you go past 40 weeks. You're crazy if you do get induced. Now, I'm not saying you're crazy. Like we said, make an educated decision. But we talk about these things and we say these words and big baby. Oh, your baby might get too big. Oh, your fluid's getting low. So then we're worried about our low fluid. Oh, this. Oh, your swelling's getting bad. Oh, like, there's so many things even before we have the baby that impacts us, and that impacts us going into that birth.
And I mean, there's even not just conversation with providers and people that are on your birth team, but there's even the like, oh, are you going natural? It's like, well, what's natural?
What does that mean? Yeah.
Yeah, what's that mean? Am I going unmedicated? Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
going unmedicated.
I'm
Like,
choosing to not have any medication for this birth. Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's unnatural.
And I mean, birth is natural. Birth, not the method of birth. the birth.
Oh, I love that you said that. That makes me happy.
Listen, I'm full of content.
Birth. B-I-R-T-H. That is what's natural. I love that you said that. And really, women of strength, hold on to that. Hold on to that, because there are people. And also, can I just drop a little plug? Don't judge others for not birthing the way that you would choose to birth.
Yes.
Because again, it's natural. And there are choices. And we want to make sure that we're making educated choices. So I encourage you not to make a choice based off of fear or someone saying they will allow you to do something. Make choices based off of education, intuition, and fact.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, that's something that I do with my practice. So a little bit about my practice is that I am a faith-based doula. I'm very prominent in my faith, and not that I force my clients or anybody to have the same faith or share the faith, but it's a big part of who I am personally. So of course it's who my business is. And one of the things that I rely on in my personal life and my business life is that, okay, well, am I having anxiety or fear, or is this something that is driven from a what if scenario? Am I being driven to this decision and making these choices based on fear or a lie or something that I just don't know about? What am I making this decision based off of? If it's anything negative like that, no, then that's not the right thing to do for me. And I mean, everybody has to make their decisions in their own personal way, but that is something that has truly helped me and helped me help my clients be like, okay, well, let's calm the situation down just a second. Let's look at this for what it is. Mm-hmm. Why are we making this decision? Is it because we're scared? Is it because we don't know what's going to happen? Is it because we don't know how we got here? Mm-hmm. Let's rectify those.
Yeah. I mean, you said it right here. She's got an amazing timeline that we're going through, you guys. And she says right here, awareness of how terms like failure to progress or high risk can create anxiety, with tips for viewing these terms and describing rather than alarming. So really, you know, putting the emphasis on understanding both birth language and how it feels, be empowered without becoming overwhelmed, anxious, or pressured. There's so many things, you know, pressured into things that you wouldn't make normally, like decisions that you wouldn't make normally. Yeah,
absolutely. And I mean, that's one reason why I tell clients, especially, well, kind of like potential clients, when they're in the deciding factor of who do I need to have on my birth team, whether that's a doula or pelvic floor therapist or whatever. I'm like, one, what are they going to bring to the table? Do they align with what you believe about birth? And are they going to be transparent with you and be like a translator for the language that it's inevitable. It's going to be thrown at you.
Yeah. You know, and then that kind of goes right into this plan for flexibility also. Like we've got birth plans and birth preferences, and we've got all these things coming at us, and we can definitely go in and shoot for everything that we want, but knowing that sometimes things actually are medically necessary and they can come up. Right. So can we talk a little bit more about being like advocating, educating, understanding these terminologies and the birth language, but then now being flexible?
Yeah. So one of my favorite things I don't know if I can say really it's a favorite thing, but something that I have said with, I think, every single client I've ever had is we got to know when to pivot. And I kind of laugh with my client, because I'll be like, have you watched Friends? Do you know the scene where they're trying to move a couch up and they're going, pivot? Like, well, you got to know when to pivot. Because sometimes it helps for the dads to put it into a sports analogy. When do you pivot? When do you switch direction? Which way you're going? But planning for birth doesn't really happen. You can't plan a birth. You can prepare. You can know your preferences. You can know what you like, what you don't like. Educate yourself. Have someone that's going to walk through those types of decisions with you that has the knowledge base behind it. Trust them, because you want to make sure if they're part of your birth team, you trust them. But there's just something about the word pivot when you throw that in there that it's like, okay, we were doing great. We had a great thing going. All of a sudden now this new element's been brought into play. Mm-hmm. We need to pivot, and that's okay. This is just helping us get to this same thing that we needed to get to.
And that is very powerful. Yeah. And sometimes the pivot, it might not be what we want, but sometimes it's actually what we need. And then it's like, wow, actually, I'm really glad that I made that pivot. But I love it. Like, sometimes we have to pivot, and hiring a doula, I'm just going to throw out doulas again. They can help you know when a good time to pivot is. I mean, we've had clients where they really wanted to go unmedicated, and then they had 3 days of prodromal labor, and then we had a posterior baby, and water broke with prom. And now we're navigating a really exhausted mom, a baby that's in a less ideal position, waters that have been broken, and which the water's been broken is fine, but it's just a little harder sometimes to navigate baby's position. Sometimes when they're not as, floaty in there. And an epidural came into play and was the best thing that she could have done. Yep. She did not plan on that. In fact, it was the last thing she wanted. She did not want an epidural. And we exhausted all avenues until it was like, it is time to pivot. Girl, you need to sleep. You need to enjoy this experience. Because also it was coming to a point where birth wasn't being enjoyable anymore. It wasn't going to be positive for her. You know, there was maybe even some trauma that was going to be starting to creep in from the way she was feeling and things that she was experiencing. And so we pivoted. We pivoted. Is that really a word? We took a pivot. And it was the best thing she could have done, really. So it wasn't what she wanted. And statistically, it's like not that ideal, right? Like we want to avoid. We want true physiological birth and not intervening. But that's what her body needed. And she was glad that she took that pivot.
Yeah. And I want to say this real quick before I move on to something else that I wanted to mention about this. But I've been asked, no telling how many times, and I'm sure you have too, and all the doulas listening have too. When do we know? When do we know that we need to change course? When do we need to set the sails in a different direction? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, is this uncomfortable? Is this a little inconvenient? Or is this suffering? Are you suffering?
Yeah, we talk about pain versus suffering too.
Yeah. And I mean, if I can look at a client and see you can almost from the outside perspective see that shift. You can see that change. You can see that they've gone from, oh, this sucks, to I'm miserable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's pivot time. That's when we pivot, because you should not suffer in that way, in that particular moment of your life.
Yeah. I mean, that is really, that's exactly what I was talking about, where we saw this shift of like, it wasn't good anymore. It wasn't good for her anymore. And she was mentally spiraling, and she was spiraling quickly internally, and we could see it. And it's weird, but as doulas, we really get to know our clients before we get to know their wishes, their desires, how they learn, how they cope, what they want, like who they are. And when we see that shift as doulas, we might say, hey, this is time to pivot. And we do it out of love. And always you can say no. Actually, no.
Yeah.
Doing okay. All right. Okay. Maybe we read a little wrong. Or sometimes it might be pivoting in changing positions because that's no longer working for you. You're requesting an epidural, but you're coping really well. It just might be pivoting to a new position to try that before we go the epidural route.
Physical pivot.
Yeah. So there's so many things to say with that. I love that you brought that up.
Yeah. And I mean, that goes right into my next point is we have so many options available to us in today's world.
Yes, we do.
And I know there's heavy opinions on all of those options and specific ones in particular, but we need to think of every single thing as a tool. Every single thing as a tool.
It's like we have like the same training or something. We've got our toolbox over here.
Yes.
We know which ones are physically able to come in the bag, and then which ones are, tucked away in the toolbox back in the other shed. The ones that we have to request. And we have those tools, we bring them with us.
Yeah. And I mean, I find that it's a lot easier to explain it in mechanical terms. Mm-hmm. So like actually talking about the functionality of a screwdriver, the functionality of a hammer, the functionality of a drill. You wouldn't use some things in change of other places, or maybe you need to do something a little bit different, but you can use a different tool to get what you're trying to achieve.
Yep.
Like, you wouldn't use a flathead screwdriver for a Phillips head. And like,
I literally say these things. I literally talk about this. This is so fun. I love this.
But I mean, if you switch the mindset of an epidural being medication, IV pain meds, using hydrotherapy, if you take all of that and just think of them as tools, think, mm-hmm. what am I trying to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
Will this tool benefit me? And is it the most effective, efficient way to do it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about that. Like, it's not effective to take a hammer to a screw, right? It's not effective to take a Phillips to a flathead. And so sometimes it's adjusting that tool. And sometimes the tool is something that's gradually going, like mm-hmm. a Phillips screwdriver versus a drill. Like, it's going to gradually get the, you know, introduce you to this, or it's going to be a lot faster. An epidural might be more of a drill where you're going to get quick relief, you know, versus nitrous or fentanyl, where it's going to be temporary, slower. And, you know, so I love that you're talking about that. And we do, we have so many options. And I think that going into birth prepared, knowing those options, it's really only going to empower you. And you may not ever even open that bag of tools. Like, you may not even touch them, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. But knowing that you can be there, and it can really help you feel that empowerment when you're making those decisions, because you're like, I know that I'm using the right tool, and I know that this is what is best for me and my baby and this birth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's okay to have your toolbox with you. It's okay to have the tools with you. It's okay to have them and think about them and know that they're there.
Mm-hmm.
It is okay to have that. If you are, like you said, being educated, prepared, going into it, and knowing the appropriate uses. Mm-hmm. Overuse and inappropriate use is what is hurting the birth world.
It is. And unfortunately, we are seeing that overuse. And people being pressured to use things that they should never even been offered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You guys, the birth world is a wild one, but man, it's so beautiful. I know sometimes we talk about things that might sound more scary or intense or even overwhelming, but it really is an amazing space. Birth is so beautiful, mm-hmm. and you deserve to have a beautiful experience. So, Darby, talk to us about your top advice, topics for expectant parents preparing for birth, because we know there's so many people here listening and they're like, give us your tips. Let's take all the tips. I know that's where I was when I was preparing for birth.
Yeah. I think honestly, my biggest tip is, well, okay, I take that back. I have two. Pick your birth team wisely. Pick your birth team wisely. A birth team is more than just a provider. There's doulas, there's pelvic floor physical therapists, mm-hmm. there's chiropractors, there's IBCLCs, therapists. There's massage therapists, there's acupuncturists, there's
so therapists many. For our mental space, like actual mm-hmm. therapy.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you can't just have one person stand in for all of those.
I know.
So find your birth team, make sure they align with what you believe about birth, and you'll be in good hands with who's right for you. And it's so easy to think, well, I have my doctor and I'll have the nurses in labor and delivery. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you will. But when they're not in there, who's going to be there for you?
Yeah, and they're not coming in. Even if you have a birth preference sheet or a birth plan coming in, yeah, they can read some of your desires, but they don't really know you. They haven't mm-hmm. worked with you. They don't know what's really important to you. They can say, oh, these things on this sheet are important, but they haven't talked to you. They haven't discussed your previous birth and talked about what triggered you and what you wanted to hold on to from those births and what you wanted to avoid at all possible costs from those births. There's not that deeper level of love and education on you, right? Like, we want to have someone that is, and they change. And I know sometimes doulas can change too with schedules or longer births or whatever. Again, life happens, you guys. Like, it is really important to always know that, you know, a doula can change, life happens. But I mean, with my first birth, my nurse was great and she was a doula and it was so great, but she was only there for 7 hours and then she was gone. And when she was gone, this new nurse came in and was just not her, far from her, actually. You know, so having that doula and having that birth team, I love that you pointed out, you cannot just replace like everybody with one person.
Mm-mm, that's too much. And if they even said that they could do it all for you, they're not going to do it all well.
Mm-mm, no. Yeah. There's not. And it's always really good to have multiple eyes on a birth. Like, this provider is looking at these stats, but this doula is looking, and maybe the nurse too, like, okay, well, there's this pattern. We've got a coupling pattern. Okay, this is what's going on. Okay, but maybe we got a posterior baby. What can we do to help this posterior baby? Right. And navigating that when your provider has maybe five other patients or your nurse has five other patients that they can't sit and just figure out what you need in your labor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think something that goes right along with that, and another tip that I have, is educate yourself. Educate yourself. Do the research. It's okay to overdo it. And I mean, you can't over prepare. You can be guided in certain directions if you want to, you know, put the blinders on and only look in one specific area. But having a team that supports you and how you get there, your journey to get there. It's not just birth support. It's pregnancy. It's postpartum. It's that first year. There's so much more than just those 12 to 24 hours, sometimes longer, sometimes shorter. There's so much more than that window.
Yeah. You know, and on the topic of where you were saying, don't replace all of those positions with that one. Don't let that one or five or 10 people replace your ability to educate yourself. Because I sometimes think it's easy to be like, oh, I've got that good team. They've got me. I'm good. So we don't need to do the work. But we really do need to know the work. It's really important.
Yeah, because nobody can tell you anything about yourself. Like, you are your biggest advocate and your best advocate. And you are the only one that's going to be going through the physicality of labor.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We have so many things that we talked about today. We're
all over the place.
I love it though. It makes me so happy. I hope that you guys have really enjoyed, but I cannot let this episode go away without talking about the book that you have, Beyond Birth. Let's talk about it. Darby's upcoming birth, or Beyond Birth, Navigating the Postpartum Journey, launching this year. So it launched in January and now here we are. So it's available now.
Yes, you can get it on Amazon. You can get it in paperback. You can get it ebook, whatever, float your boat. And it's basically like a girlfriend's guide, a doula girlfriend's guide to postpartum. Because as I was going through postpartum with my babies, I was like, there is so much that I didn't know, or I didn't have time to flip through five different books that honed in on different aspects of postpartum. I needed condensed, all in one place, one book to cover it all. Yeah. And so I was like, you know what? See a need, fill a need. And that's how the book was born.
I love that. That
no pun intended.
I mean, yeah, that's how the book was born. I mean, that's how the VBAC Link course was created too. It's like we wanted one spot. It's so nice to have that one spot to dive in and find all the information. And postpartum, I think, is overlooked. And I don't think it's every VBAC mom, but sometimes I think that we are focusing so hard on the birth aspect of life, trying to get that VBAC, trying to advocate, trying to find the team, get all the information, that sometimes we forget to really dive into that postpartum journey and what that's going to look like. Have you found that with clients?
Yes, absolutely. Because I am a I don't want to say strictly birth doula, but that is a majority of my clients, birth clients. Not that I don't love postpartum support, but that is not my passion. I refer out my clients out to postpartum doulas for that. But I was finding myself with my clients being like, oh, hey, don't forget about this. Or, oh, hey, you might feel like this. Or they'd ask me a question and I'd be like, oh, yeah, this can happen and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to create a resource that I can give my clients. Be like, absolutely, contact me. However, here's your manual.
I love it. Yeah, physical recovery, emotional changes, breastfeeding. Yeah. And if you're not wanting to breastfeed, how to navigate that. But like really navigating those early parenthood days. And that's so important.
Yeah. And we even dive into, I mean, again, like I said, faith is a very big part of who I am and how I run my business. So it does have a little bit of a faith aspect in there too. And it also, we cover even things you don't think about when you're going into postpartum. Like, we think about feeding the baby, taking care of the baby, changes in health with you, physical recovery. But it even dives into like, well, what if I'm trying to decide if I want to go back to work or not? Like, what does that look like? Or, hey, me and my partner aren't seeing eye to eye in these early days. What does that look like? How do we navigate marriage or relationships or any sort of partnership in these early parenthood days? What does that look like? How do we overcome that? What are some tips? And so it covers a wide range of things. And I'm quite proud of it. I love it.
You should be. That is so awesome. Well, okay, tell us final ways to connect with you. I know we talked about it a little bit in intro and then a little bit more in the intro. But tell us more of really ways like classes, doula services. Of course, we're going to have links to her book, you guys, and we're going to have links to everything in this so you can go and click in the show notes and find Darby very easily.
Yeah. So I am mainly active. I know we mentioned this earlier on Instagram. It's just easier.
Yes, so, and Birth by Design.
Yes, and Birth by Design, my podcast.
Yes, don't forget that.
Sorry, there's so much.
I know.
But yes, so you can find me on Instagram at Boundless Grace Birth. Website, same thing, boundlessgracebirth.com. You'll be able to get the book there. You'll be able to get a link to Amazon if you would rather go that way and do it. But you can get that on my website. Or you can find links to Birth by Design, like we mentioned, which is my podcast where we talk about all things birth and motherhood. So,
yeah, her podcast is great, you guys. So great.
You're so sweet.
I mean, when we first met, like chatting, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just feel so, it's your voice, it's your personality. And everything about you, I just think you are wonderful. So I'm so glad that you were able to come and talk to our wonderful community that we have here. So many great topics here. And again, we could just talk and talk and talk.
We really could.
Yes, we could. You guys, we love birth. We love you. Go find her. Check her out. Get her book. I also think preparing for postpartum before baby has come, not once baby is 2 weeks old and it's feeling overwhelming and chaos. Like, let's learn how to make postpartum better before we have the baby.
Yes. Prepare in advance.
Yes. Oh, okay. Well, thank you again so much.
Yes, thanks for having me. It's such an honor.
Interested in sharing your VBAC? Head over to thevbaclink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
The sun is shining and it is starting to get warmer outside. This often comes with the need of drinking extra fluids to stay hydrated. Hydration is important for optimal body function, and Needed's Hydration Support has electrolytes and trace minerals with a hint of flavor from real fruit to support hydration. Occasional nausea and even breast milk supply without sugar or artificial sweeteners and colors. Grab your hydration support today from thisisneeded.com and get 20% off your first order. You can use code VBAC at checkout.